This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From TikTok to the office washroom, hair is more than just a style statement. It can be a window into our moods, our politics, even our sense of belonging. So what's hot in hair right now, and what does it tell us about the times we're living in? Well, Jack Morton is a National Wellbeing and Technical Director at Tony and Guy, one of the world's most iconic names in hairdressing. He's with us now. Jack, welcome to Drive.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Now, it's good to have you here. Let's start with what's trending. What are the big hair looks you're seeing right now across gender and ages as you look at my hair that is 2 weeks overdue for a haircut?
That's all right. I'm not being paid right now, so I'm not looking at your hair. Do you know what? I find like trends like such a fascinating topic to talk about, but I think what I find somewhat like difficult to talk about is to just talk about like the shapes and textures and colors. Like I think it goes so much like deeper than that, and I don't want to like say this is in and that's not. Like for a start, what's happened probably over the last like 10 years in terms of hair trends is it's not dictated by a particular shape or color. It's about the individual, what suits their lifestyle, what brings out their personality, and like long, short, curly, straight, natural, synthetic, like anything goes. It's more of like a values or like an underpinning thing to those looks. And there's definitely a sense of like freedom and kind of like wash and wear, like a return to that. I think like COVID was definitely like obviously a massive circuit breaker in so many parts of the world or parts of life. And I think where so many of us couldn't get our hair done professionally, we were starting to embrace what our natural hair color was, undone hair, you know, like a return to natural movement, almost like DIY looking hair where we might be like trimming our own fringes. So there's definitely this like softness to hair as well. But I think what's also happened, that for every trend, there is always like a counter trend, right? There's always counterculture. Like we always reject what the mainstream do and then the minorities rise up to become more of like the mainstream. But you're going to see, I suppose, like a return to like real intense, like vibrant hair colors as well, where we need this like dopamine fix.
You know what I find it funny about colors is my grandmother always had a blue rinse.
Yeah, for
sure. In her hair.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people, like it was so common and done by the elderly.
Yeah.
And I reckon that's fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, and the blue rinses happened because they would dye their hair with silver nitrate so that on that black and white film, like yellow hair looked like whiter.
That
happened, yeah. And then it just became this trend, the blue rinse brigade, for sure. But yeah, like I said, like trends in terms of shapes, like anything really goes. I mean, you can talk about like fads really as well. Like I think this is the fascinating thing about trends as well, where trends used to like originate from like the top down. It was always creative directors and hair on runways would dictate what then are filtered down into like the mainstream. But really now with like social media and technology being in our hands all day, it's more the individuals that start these new trends that but they happen in like for very short periods of time. So there's like the rise of fads, you know. When we talk about trends, you can say macro trends that last about 10 years, you know, we're looking at decades, and micro trends about 5 years. But fads can happen for a matter of weeks and even like days. You know, something will just go viral and everybody will want this new thing, this new shade that's got a fancy name.
Or you have to stay on top of that though, wouldn't you? Like you have to know that tomorrow, this has gone off over the weekend, they're going to be knocking on the door.
Absolutely. And it's exhausting. I personally don't find like substance in that. And to try to keep up with these small micro trends that are happening, like I just don't do it. Mm. I try to say like, I'm going to strip that away from you and let's like just sit and talk about you, who you are, what's your lifestyle, like how are you feeling and what do you want your hair to like say about you? Like don't just follow this other influencer that's like somebody that you find attractive so you want to look like them.
So you're almost, in some ways, you're like the counselor, aren't you? Because they're coming in saying, I want to be validated by looking like this particular person. And you go to them and say, hey, let's bring it back to you.
Yeah.
And yourself.
I mean, you just said it as well, like that validation. And I think, you know, our appearance and our hair in particular, it's tribal, right? Like I think we follow trends because we want to be associated with something. We don't want to be excluded from a pack, or we don't or the opposite, again, that counterculture of like, we don't want to be associated with a pack. So I think for me personally, what I try to do is, yeah, speak to the individual in the chair. And I think it's such a privilege these days as well, like to be able to be face-to-face with somebody on a one-to-one basis, to touch somebody, like literally touch them and change something on their hair. Like outside of healthcare and well-being, like there's not very many other spaces that other than hairdressing that does that. So it's a real privilege.
For a lot of people, just on that, I suppose their relationship with their hair, it's tied to their well-being.
Mm.
Are people talking more about the emotional and the mental side of hair these days as opposed to just looking a particular way?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think this was something that, you know, I suppose a emotionally mature hairdresser has always been aware of, right? Mm. But again, COVID and lockdown definitely kind of brought that to the forefront of people's minds, seeing how maybe we weren't looking after ourselves so much and the impact of that, and how having your hair healthy and washed and styled or feeling good, like what the impact that can have on your well-being is huge. But also the other side of that, when we talk about like well-being hair, like, and that's a term that's been thrown around in terms of hair trends, is about hair just being healthy and shiny and kind of that return to natural as well. That's been something that's very trending. But yeah, to take care of your hair is to take care of yourself. You know,
when I was a kid, I had really tight curls, and I remember they were blonde curls, and everyone's saying, "Oh my goodness, I love your curls. I pay a fortune to get a perm." Mm. Of course, and that's what everyone was doing at the time. And I hated them because it was I was the odd one out in school. And then now I appreciate it and think, okay, they were natural. They were part of what my hair was like. But then I see a lot of people trying to sort of go against the forces of nature and straighten.
Absolutely.
Their curls.
Yeah. There's that age-old thing, right, of like, we always want what we haven't got. You've got straight hair, you want bigger hair, you've curly hair, you want a straight hair. But again, that probably is one of these big trends that's happening now, is people actually saying like, okay, what is my hair? How does it sit naturally? Like, let me work with it as opposed to against it. Like, I don't need to be part of a large group that look a particular way. Like, I need to feel good within myself. And that might be about, yes, working with your natural hair, but like enhancing it and polishing it a little bit more, you know, or adding a bit of colour here and there, but to not hide who you are.
I love it. We're chatting with Jack Morton from Tony and Guy about the latest hair trends and how what we do with our hair can reflect who we are and how we're feeling. Jack, you work closely on the well-being side of the industry. What does that involve, and how does it, I suppose, connect to the client experience in the chair?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for asking this question. It's like a topic I'm like so passionate about, and I think it's been widely known for so long that like hairdressers do kind of work as counsellors. You know, we sit and we listen and we hold a lot of our clients' emotions.
Be great radio.
I've thought about that, like putting a little microphone on, right? A little podcast. Yeah, but I don't think there is enough focus on providing the hairdresser with those skills to be equipped to handle those type of conversations, right? So I think it's a very sensitive space because we aren't counsellors. We're not trained to do that. And I don't believe that we should start to have that very advanced education in counselling. But I have a program called Project U, which is about taking the hairdresser aside and for me to do some work on them, like to build their self-awareness and their self-esteem and their self-confidence, that they then can then turn up more authentically in the salon, or to not be so emotionally triggered by certain things, so that you can actually be more willing and emotionally stable to handle intense conversations as opposed to being emotionally triggered by them. So I think it's again something that's again very trendy within hairdressing at the moment, to focus on the well-being side of the hairdresser in order to help the client a bit more.
I'm thinking in the age of social media, and we're becoming more and more withdrawn from people, you might be the person who someone has the most contact with.
Absolutely.
In terms of one-on-one conversations.
For sure, like one-to-one, and like I said earlier, like literally being touched by somebody, you know, we might be the only person that does that. And it's a sensitive space, the salon. You know, you come into the salon because you want to feel better. Mm. You're not feeling good about yourself. You're then put in a black gown, your identity stripped. You're then sat in the mirror, and then you've got somebody standing above you, behind you. Like, it's an intimidating space.
It is when you say it like that, yeah.
Right? But then what we have as hairdressers is this amazing ability to make somebody feel better, to make them feel heard, to make them look better, to look them in the eye, to touch them, to listen to them. And they're all such incredibly important parts of what makes us, you know, happy and comforted.
You know, it's even more intimidating when I'm having my nose waxed and my ear waxed and I've got the cotton buds sticking out of every hole. That is intimidating for someone who walks in. Now, let's say someone is in a bit of a rut with their hair. Mm. What's your advice to shift the energy, I suppose, without doing something drastic that they'll regret? How do you sort of just get them out of that little rut? It's like you're bike wheels stuck in the tram tracks.
Yeah, it's a really great question. And I think this is where the emotional maturity of the hairdresser comes in, right? We have to be able to like sit and look them in the eye and be like, okay, is changing something with your hair the thing that you need? Mm. Or is there another part of your life that really needs kind of changing? And I think sometimes just a small change can make a really big difference. So sometimes it's just like, whether it's like moving a parting or doing something that's like non-committal, like a temporary color or a restyle of hair, right? Mm. Without actually committing to like a whole new haircut. But in all honesty, I think sometimes those people just need a really deep, honest conversation with somebody and just say like, okay, is it your hair that's the problem?
If someone says, I would like to do this, and you think, no, do you tell them?
I would always give my opinion, but again, this is me speaking very personally, and I work with other hairdressers that have a very different idea, because we have these kind of rules within modern beauty, right, of like trying to make somebody's face an oval shape, and we do that with certain haircuts and fringes, etc. And yes, if somebody wants to have a haircut that's going to make their face look wider or longer, then it might be suggested by the hairdresser, like, hey, this is what's going to happen. Mm. But at the end of the day, like, if somebody wants that thing and it's going to make them happy, I'm not the person to say no. Like, I will do that. I've certainly had and do have haircuts and colours that maybe don't technically make me look like modern beauty standards, but they make me feel good. So, like, yeah, go for it.
Has anyone ever screamed when you've turned them around in front of the mirror?
Only with joy. Yeah.
Great. Now, a lot of people, myself included, stick with simple, you know, low-maintenance haircuts, but sometimes walking into the big trendy salons can feel a little bit intimidating.
For sure.
How can someone feel more comfortable asking for a fresh update without getting overwhelmed by all the trends?
Oh, do you know what? That's a really good question. And I actually think that to not be overwhelmed by the trends, I think you need to be comfortable with a hairdresser. Like, so maybe even like seeing somebody first and kind of sticking to what you know until you build a relationship with that person. And then you can start to have this very personal, like, what would you recommend? Because also, like, the other side of all of this is somebody just doesn't have an opinion on their hair. They want to feel different or they want to feel better, but they don't know what that looks like. And that's when I can then give my opinion. But in order for them to maybe have that conversation, they need to trust me. So I think sometimes it's like dipping your toe in the water with that hairdresser, you know, like just stick to what I know for now. But like, I'd like to have a conversation with you. The other thing a lot of hairdressers do is consultations beforehand. You know,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, for sure. And look, it's a blessing and a curse now, like the amount of imagery that we have at our disposal. But imagery can really help to help understand what you're talking about or to make a suggestion of something. You generally put your finger over the face of the person that's in the picture to say, like, let's just check, are you looking at the hair or are you looking at this person's face that you want to look like? And, you know, there's AI tools as well now that can, like, place these new haircuts and colours on top of a photo of you to give you that bit of a taster. But I think the human side of it's much better. Like, yeah, build a relationship with a hairdresser and slowly work up to something.
I'm going to finish with a funny story. Michael Jackson was huge in the 80s. I had curly hair and I walked in to one of the hairdressers and I said, I want his haircut. Can you do it? Anyway, they said, well, just go wash your hair. I came back. They got a poster of Michael Jackson stuck it on the mirror. And I sat in front of it. I was so embarrassed. Jack Morton, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive Today. Thank you, Jack Morton, National Wellbeing and Technical Director at Tony and Guy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.